Hey, what's up? Luke here with Just Press Start, and doing something a little different today. There was a charity in town, Gamers Helping Gamers, and while they aren't focusing on video games, they are playing lots of Magic the Gathering, and I'm actually sitting here with Magic the Gathering legend John Finkel. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the program.
Cool. Now, I'm going to focus on Gamers Helping Gamers here a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is?
Sure. Gamers Helping Gamers is a charity that was co-founded by me, by my friend Tim, who's right next to here. He was really the driving force behind it. And the idea was to give something back to the Magic community. Magic players are the sort of people, they're a lot of very bright people who play Magic, who maybe don't always do all the work they're supposed to do in high school, who probably don't necessarily show up academically to the extent that their intellect and talent would maybe make you think that they would have. A lot of these kids, they're entering college and maybe they're not, eligible for lots of other scholarships, but we figured, this is probably an underserved area of kids that are very bright. And it's also a community we're part of. So each year we were looking to give away two scholarships for $5,000 a year that will take a kid through the end of his college experience. And then also maybe work with these kids afterwards, mentoring opportunities, internships, maybe help pushing them into areas where their gaming talents will really, help them make a difference in the world.
Cool. And how long has the charity been around?
We finished our paperwork we started our paperwork in 2011. We finished it last year. We gave away our first scholarships last year for starting in the fall of 2012. We'll be giving away our second set of scholarships sometime later on this spring. I think our application deadline is April 1st, March 15th?
I thought March 31st.
March 31st.
It's coming up soon.
If the guy got on April 1st instead, we probably would have accepted it. So I'll take my April 1st answer. That's at least kind of correct.
All right. So brand new charity, helping folks out. That's awesome. I know some of our fans actually had some questions about not your tournament play, because they can find all that information out. Wikipedia, all the big Magic sites will have that, but more your casual play. Do you ever actually get to play casually when you're at home?
I do play casually. I mean, most of the Magic I've played over the last 10 years has been casually. It's maybe a little different than other people's casual play in that my group of people that play casually are mostly, very skilled Magic players. A lot of people who used to play on the Pro Tour. There are some outliers like Tim, who... a lot of people who, either used to play very competitively or still play very competitively. We mostly do drafts. And it's interesting, is we keep a database of our draft performances. And my lifetime win percentage in those matches is actually significantly lower than my lifetime win percentage on the Pro Tour. So, my casual game might actually be more difficult than an average match at the Pro Tour.
Is it because when you're playing a casual game that you're trying some off-the-wall stuff that you wouldn't do in a tournament, like maybe trying out new deck combinations and what have you?
I'd like to say that, but most of it we're drafting. And I do maybe err a little bit more on the side of drafting what I want to or having fun rather than drafting the best deck. It's not that so much. A lot of it is just, again, the fact that the competition is very good. It's hard playing against good people who are playing Magic to win more than, 60-odd% of your games. That's just the reality of it.
Now, the big question that also came up, and it does go a little bit more into your tournament play, is that over the years, Magic has changed so much. I mean, I don't even recognize it from when I played as a kid. So how hard is it to deal with those challenges every time a rule change comes up, like the more recent one in 2010? How hard is it to adjust and change your tournament playing deck to that?
I don't play a ton of Constructed outside of the super major Magic tournaments, basically just Pro Tours. So for me, each time, you know, there's a major event, it's kind of like starting over to some extent. So it's very rarely the fact that you're just changing your deck because of some rule change. It's more likely you're changing it because of sets flowing in or out of legality. You know, I've been very lucky. So I started playing again like semi-seriously about a year and a half ago, four Pro Tours ago. And, you know, I got hooked up with a group of people, many of whom I'd known from before, who were, you know, very active in the Magic community, really, you know, excellent deck builders, excellent testers. You know, and I think I probably added something to the group, but it was much easier because I got to jump in and be part of this team that really, you know, was able to give me kind of an advantage or at least hide some of my weaknesses in terms of knowing about constructive play.
Cool. Now, are there any early experiences with the game that were more embarrassing, like at a tournament or something just all of a sudden just totally blew you away and embarrassed you a little bit maybe, or just shocked you?
I mean, you know, I, you know, in Honolulu this year, I didn't pluck a wolf token that if I had, I would have almost certainly made it to the finals of the tournament. I mean, in my early career, I mean, besides looking back and saying, like, what was I thinking with my hair, or, you know, man, I look so young. I mean, in the tournament play itself, I can't really think of anything that was particularly embarrassing. I, you know, never making, like, some huge gaffe on a big stage. But then again, I really, the funny thing is I forget so much about individual tournaments. Like, I just forget matches, I forget who I played, you know, like, I mean, even people I know and I'm friendly with, you know, they're like, oh yeah, we played a tournament in like 1997. I'm like, I don't remember, like, it was in the top eight. I'm like, let me look. I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of remember that now, you know, or it could be, you know, last year, and I my brain just forgets a lot about individual matches. I think that the information probably comes in somewhere deep, and maybe maybe helps me learn how to play better, and so for that. But in terms of the specifics of it, they just go right out, and you know, just right out the, you know, back of my brain.
Kind of like, yeah, I win. Okay, we're done.
Yeah, or you know, oh no, I lost.
Yeah. So what do you do when you aren't playing Magic or even poker? Because you had that little stint that you went into poker for a while there. You know, what are you playing when you're not playing this? Or do you just totally shut off and don't play anything?
I mean, Magic is the competitive game that I play the most. I think it's just better. Maybe I'm more used to it and like it more than a lot of the other competitive games. You know, I'll play some like social or party type games. You know, games like Time's Up or, you know, Cards Against Humanity, Apples to Apples. You know, various other games. You know, of that ilk. You know, there's a year or so where for, you know, there's a video games or a year and a half where I was playing a ton of Heroes of New Earth. I got off that addiction. I kind of think I should go back into it.
Although, no, don't go back to it.
The real problem is how much, you know, those games really, like, shake your faith in, like, the goodness of humanity. I mean, the chat. Yeah. It's bad. But, that game was an awesome game. Besides that, you know, in terms of games, you know, it's Magic's my competitive game of choice, and then I play other games. Yeah, I play them semi-competitively, and I'll play Settlers and stuff like that, but it's a little different. You know, it's more for just, you know, having fun and enjoying yourself with your friends.
Well, that's cool. I gotta ask, just for the video game's sake, any video games you playing other than Heroes of New Earth? Well, not that you're playing that now.
You know, I really don't play very much way of you know, pure video games or kind of computer games that are like,
actually, it doesn't matter.
You know, they're like video games. My dad's like a huge WoW player.
I'm sorry.
No. I mean, my dad played. There's a period where he was playing EverQuest.
Okay.
And over a period of 3 years, real time, he logged over a year of time in EverQuest, and he had like a full-time job.
Wow.
Yeah, no, my dad's a real gamer, and you know, I mean, I'm cut from the same cloth. When I was young, I played a ton of computer games before, you know, but more like kind of like role-playing game, like the Might of Magic, the Wizardry, you know, that sort of stuff, you know, before then Magic kind of became my gaming focus.
Cool. Well, we've been talking to John Finkel. I thank you for your time, and I encourage everyone that's listening to this to check out Gamers Helping Gamers, because it's a really cool charity. Thank you very much.
Thank you.